So welcome to the inquiry session. You are familiar with the form now, the cushions for one of you, and the invitation is to come with a question that's arisen from your practice, or perhaps something that you would like to explore. Perhaps you had an experience in the sitting that you didn't quite understand. In between each inquiry, there'll be a very brief time where we sit together in silence. Just a reminder that you are listening not only outwardly to what is being said, but also inwardly to the responses of your own heart and mind. You'll notice that sometimes there's a commentary that's going on. An evaluation. You think, oh, Radha should have said something else. She shouldn't have said that. Or you might think, oh, it's too psychological. Or you might think, oh, people are only pretending to be free. And so on. There can be all kinds of thoughts that occur as you listen. There can also be very deep touching in the emotional world. Sometimes with the inquiries, they can go rather deeply and we may not understand what is being said. Nevertheless, I ask you to just listen. And sometimes something resonates in a way that we don't quite understand. We can have a moment where understanding floods through the body. So this is powerful and deep listening. At a conceptual level, but also a non-conceptual level. At any time, of course, you may say thank you and leave, and I may say thank you and you leave. And the inquiry comes to a close. There is a recording. If you wish for it to be turned off, just say so. So sitting quietly for a moment to begin, please. The purpose of the inquiry, of course, is liberation for all. Yes, anybody? Yes, come. Hi. Yes, of course.
Now? Wow. Okay. So, so I guess
yes, of course, say it again.
Should I?
No need.
Is it not recorded?
I'm just teasing.
It is recorded.
Oh, okay.
We can hear it every time we want.
Yeah. Okay.
So I came here to the retreat with this issue in mind, trying to put it aside, hoping to take care of it, trying to put it aside.
Yes.
I didn't manage or decide what should I do with it. It's it's about my relationship with my oldest daughter.
Yes.
I have three daughters. Mm-hmm. She's 13, Tamar, her name. And, yeah, so it's tricky, I guess, because I, as time goes by in the retreat, nice sensations and some quiet arises, but all the time I kind of know or don't have any choice to see that issue.
Yes.
So I guess the first question or issue is this one. I want to on one hand I want to be a little bit freer with this issue, but on the other hand I want to practice and find joy and find freedom, not necessarily after solving this issue.
Okay. Well, why don't we find freedom with the issue?
We can try.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Say a little more about the relationship.
So I love her dearly.
Beautiful.
Naturally.
Yes.
I was very excited. She's 13, yeah?
Yes.
So 13 years ago, I was very excited being a father.
Yes. It's an extraordinary experience to see a child born.
Yeah, definitely. And I guess I still have many thoughts and expectations. How would that be? How would that unfold? And I was kind of very invested in my fatherhood, I would say.
Yes.
I guess. And so I think that in some ways I'm finding myself not content. If you would say, like, accepting everything about her.
Yes.
And that is a really, I would say, issue between us, because of course she feels it. Mm-hmm. I think it was in the morning when I comment on the issue of doing something, of
yes,
working,
mm-hmm,
something out. And in some ways we're different. She is like, she's not, she's taking her time, definitely, and not pressuring anything. And I feel that my responsibility to educate her into the right the right role, mm-hmm, in the field.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the father, the voice of the father, is saying, "I know what is best for you."
Yeah.
Do you recall your father saying that to you, or anything like it?
Both my parents are softer than me.
Yes, okay.
Happily. Okay. Happy to say that.
Okay. So happily, that was not said to you, okay? Because often when we hear that, there's immediate resistance. So the father is saying, "I know what is best. I want you to be like this." Do you think that she feels free, or do you think she feels as if she needs to please you?
Both. We talk about it.
Yes, okay, say more.
So she is a free spirit, but she feels she needs to please me.
Yes, yes.
She lean more to the to be herself.
Yes.
I don't know if it's a yes, but yes.
Ah, okay.
I would. Yeah, she.
So she's a young woman, and she wants to be free spirited.
Yeah.
She wants to be herself completely.
the issue that I think intellectually I know that.
Okay.
But still I find it very hard to do that movement
of trusting her completely.
Yeah.
Trust her intelligence.
Yeah. I would say.
Yes. It's a very challenging thing. I have 4 children. And it's very challenging as the parent to sometimes see that the child is doing something that perhaps we would think is unwise, and not to push, but to really trust the intelligence of the child. What's your response?
So, theoretically.
Only theoretically.
Theoretically, yes, of course.
But?
On the last meditation, I think I was a little bit with that subject, and something came like make space.
There's the natural wisdom.
But, yeah. So make space.
But.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So really rest into that. How could you make space? Okay. It's time to know. It requires something fresh from you, doesn't it? How do you make space in your relationship with someone you utterly love and care about? Just sit for a moment, reflecting. How can you really be with her, loving her unconditionally, being wise, the wise parent, but making space?
For me, what's needed is trust, and I find it a little bit hard to do.
Yes, yes. So to trust what?
To trust that it's going to be okay.
What would you need to let go of to trust that it's going to be okay?
That there is one way for things to be okay.
Please say that a little louder.
That there are many ways of that things could be okay.
It's to let go of the view that there's one way for things to be okay, and that way is my way.
It's very difficult.
Yes.
I can see that.
Yes. So we see it intellectually. What if you could, for a moment, just loosen the attachment to the role of father? So you're sitting here with me in the Dharma hall. And with everybody here, we're all with you in terms of this issue, because it's an issue for many of us. How could you make space? And could you make space by just loosening the grip and identity of father? Just for a moment. We know that you are her father. But right now, if you were just to let go of that role and look at your daughter as a human being, what would your response be?
She's beautiful.
Yes.
And smart and funny.
Yes.
I would lie if I say that I don't hold the father stance. It's so hard because I don't know, worried or something.
Yes.
Or
there's fear.
Fear, yeah. Some kind of unexplained, for me, fear.
Okay, so let's explore the fear right now. The fear sits where in the body?
Hard to locate a
yes.
little bit. I guess it's in my thoughts somewhere.
Okay.
Could it be?
What are the thoughts? It can be. What are the thoughts that construct the fear or the beliefs that fuel the fear?
She has to be tougher. It's not nice to say, but yeah, that's the truth. This is the thought. She needs to be tougher.
Yes. So beautiful, wise, funny, and smart is not enough. One has to be tough as well. Yeah. Why does she have to be tough in your view?
It's a tough world.
So this thought, it's a tough world,
yeah,
constructs and fuels the fear. And with the fear, we add something unnecessary, actually, in our relationship with those we love most dearly.
Yeah.
And of course, it may be true that the world is difficult sometimes. But the world is also extraordinary. It is both.
Yeah. This fear, I try to loosen up a little bit, see the facts about Tamar, about her way in life, which is super.
Yes. So actually, she's doing really well.
No, she is doing really well.
It's the dad who's in trouble.
Yeah. That's why I took the courage to sit here.
Yeah, to come up here.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
I wanted to
take
care of the dad.
Yes, to explore this and to say, okay, how can I still be the father, but with some more spaciousness, and be the father fearlessly? Because otherwise, what you pass on to the child is your fear. And you don't want her to live with fear. Say more.
I definitely don't want her to be or to live with fear.
Yes.
And that's my fear is because of that I keep a distance. This is, do you know what I mean?
Not quite.
Because I don't want her to, because this fear can be contagious.
Yes.
Let's say so. I fear I take some space, not to contagiate her with that.
Okay,
fear.
So you step back from her.
I don't step back, but I sometimes I want to stand back and tell to my wife, "Hey, take care of that one." You probably know better. I'm a little bit in some complex here. So.
Okay, so it's wisdom to know when to let the other parent take the leading role with an issue.
Yeah.
And it's okay to say, okay, I'm not so good at this. I'll just step aside. That's fine. However, she will sense and know if you are afraid for her. She's smart. She's bright. She'll see it. So how to let go of the fear a little bit?
I'm not very experienced with fears, to be honest.
Good news.
Bad news for me. Because...
Because you don't know what to do.
I don't know really what to do.
Okay, so there's two ways we face the fear. We deconstruct it. We deconstruct what we hold with our views, our ideas, our opinions. We loosen the grip of the mind. That's one way. So then we see that our fears are sometimes irrational. Our fears are unhelpful. Our fears add something to the situation that's not necessary. Our fear becomes a burden for another.
Usually when I experience fear, I tended to...
Withdraw.
Run to it.
Run to it. So you're good at facing fear. Okay.
But this one is a little bit different.
Yes.
This one.
It's a big challenge.
Yeah.
And I know this parenting business is a big challenge. It really is. So to be wise... to guide, but at the same time to really love and to be fearless is really important. There is another way to deal with the fear, and it is for you to turn towards your freedom of heart. So right now, reflecting on your daughter, can you really get a sense of trust, of allowing her freedom? Can you just dissolve that thought that comes with the father, I know best, I know what is right? Because sometimes we don't, we only think we do. So we let the I thought dissolve, and then we just rest into to the freedom of heart. On the retreat here, have you had moments of freedom? Yes. When you rest there, what happens to the fear?
Yeah, it dissolves.
It dissolves, yeah. It's gone completely. So the more time you spend being fearless, the less the fear that's associated with your daughter will be supported. The more we turn to our freedom, the more we turn to peace, the more we touch our deep knowing, where fear is absent, the more that becomes our life and the less tendency we'll have to control, to be fearful, to think we know best.
Yeah, controlled, echoed something, I don't know.
Yes, we want to control. We want to control what happens for our children. We can't.
But I find it like really harsh.
Yes.
Thank you, I guess.
There's one more theme. Once when one of my children was interviewed, he said something that I found so touching about parenting. He said, he's a very creative person, he's an inventor. And someone asked him about his childhood. And he said something, he said, my parents didn't do criticism. And I thought, oh, did I not do criticism? You know, did I not criticize my children? And, of course, I am not putting myself forward as the perfect parent by any stretch of the imagination. Parenting is difficult, and there were, of course, difficult moments. But when I thought about it, I thought, yes, I did really try to nurture each child's talents and not to criticize, not to find fault. And this particular child, he says, that allowed his mind to roam free and to be incredibly creative. And he's quite a visionary in terms of who he is. So my little tiny bit of parenting advice would be just hold it with any critical thoughts. Not to criticize. Not to criticize is very important. And then your daughter can develop in her fullness and be the free spirit. And you can be the father, knowing your freedom, both with her and in the retreat.
Thank you.
Freedom's in both places. Thank you very much. Yes, anybody? Yes, come. Hello. Just check that it's on.
Yeah, my name is Eyal. You hear me?
Yes.
And the issue, I think, is relevant for many of us in these days of, you know, political problems we have in our country. And my specific problem is that I don't know how to handle anger in this time. Usually I'm not an angry person, but I find myself during this time I develop anger to many, to the government, to people that support the government, to people that don't support the government but don't go out to the streets. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how to handle it, so the way I do it is I suppress it. I don't want to act on it. Okay, that's the issue.
Okay, so I appreciate that you don't want to act on it. Because why don't you want to act on it? Tell us that.
Because it's it can be harmful,
of course,
for other people and for myself. Also.
Yes, indeed. So you feel the anger?
Yeah, strongly. Yes.
And the anger's attached to the view, what you think is best, what you think is right.
Yeah, definitely. Yes.
And so on. It is difficult in very troubled times to approach the political situation where there's differences of opinion, differences of view, differences of ideology, to approach it open-heartedly. What would it take for you to approach it with an open heart?
Well, if I could accept that the other opinion is also legitimate, mm-hmm. But I cannot.
Okay. So the sense of I forms around the view, the idea. I have a particular view and I am right, and the other people are wrong. Yes?
Yes, but, well, if it would not, if would not pretend to my... You know, my life and freedom.
Yes.
So the other view threatens my freedom.
I completely understand the position that you're taking. And of course, sometimes we do need to be the voice of protest when we see that there's injustice. The point is, how? How can we do it based on an ethical foundation? How can it be right action based on right view and right intention? This is the question for those of us in the world of Dharma. How can we respond with wisdom to the world, not adding anger to it? You've seen that that's unwise, because if we're adding anger to a situation, we're simply fueling the difficulty.
Yes, I know theoretically, but yes. I don't know what to do with the anger.
Yes, okay, we'll come to that. First things first. Okay, so the anger is supported by the view, I'm right, other people are wrong. What other views? I don't want to put words into your mouth.
The what?
I said I don't want to put words into your mouth, but what other views support your anger?
That their view is destructive.
Yes.
It threatens the our country.
Yes. It threatens the foundation on which the country was built.
Yeah.
The ideas and the philosophy and so on, as I understand.
Right.
So, coming back to the anger. You see, the anger doesn't help.
Yeah.
So, you've understood that there's an ethical issue. Say a bit more about that. Say a bit more about the sense of injustice that you feel, or the other issues connected with that, that have made you in the first place go to the street.
I don't know how much you're familiar with the situation. But
only a little. I did go to the protest before I came here.
But among, you know, they want to cancel the democracy in Israel, they want to limit the rights of women.
Yes.
You know, they should sit in the back of the bus, and they should wear modest, so-called. And also the community of the homosexual and lesbian.
Yes.
Could become illegal, and so on.
Okay, so there is... freedoms are being threatened, and so your response is to protest, to go out in the street, as with, I know that many people here have been doing so. Not everybody, probably, but some people. So your view is, yes, that's what I need to do. What's the intention when you're there? What's the intention of the protest?
It's the only thing that I can do. I think part of the anger is the feeling of helplessness, that we are not in control.
Yes. Yes.
But still it leaves me with the anger.
Okay. So, we have the understanding of the situation. We understand that we want a society that is founded on ideals of love and respect and equality and fairness. So this is right view. From the right view comes the intention. The intention to bring about change. The intention for the new.
Yeah.
The difficulty comes, I think, when, because we don't know the outcome of our actions. And as I see it, we can protest, we can stand up for what we believe and think is correct and right and true, based on our understanding. But if we are attached to a particular outcome, we're in trouble, we're frustrated, we're angry. Your turn.
Yeah, It's correct.
So how can we be with life, even this political situation here, without demanding a particular result? Without being invested in a particular outcome? Because this is where the anger and rage comes from.
In a way, a certain kind of anger is necessary in order to take you out to the street. Otherwise, you would not go. But then it can be, you know, often in demonstration there is a lot of emotional flow, can you say?
Yes, a flood of emotions, yes.
And then, which is difficult to handle.
Yes,
especially
indeed.
If there is demonstrators from the other party.
Yes, yes, yes. So, question becomes, how can you approach this situation with wisdom rather than anger? So, not adding to the distress, not adding to the problem with the anger. What would it take in you?
If I would have known, I would have come to ask you.
Yes, exactly. But this is not that I come with all the answers, especially all the answers to the political situation in Israel. I certainly don't have those. But I certainly know about protesting from other activities in my life. Most of the protests I've been involved in have been environmental protests.
Environmental.
In Australia, yeah, about what's happening to the environment. Mm. But the principle is the same. Mm. The other protests, of course, I've been involved in a long time ago. I was a peace activist against the Vietnam War. So if we are adding our own anger and rage to a peaceful demonstration, or to a demonstration for peace, it's a little crazy, isn't it? So you want this, you want a wonderful society here. You have clear intentions. Your heart is in the right place. Yet, there's anger being added. What needs to cease? What needs to stop? What can you do? I'm asking you because in these situations, what we need is something new. We need a fresh approach. We need another way of seeing. Otherwise, we're stuck. Otherwise, we're stuck with anger.
Yeah, I know. I think I know the answer theoretically.
What's the answer theoretically?
Like, you know, I studied the Bhagavad Gita, and he said, don't be attached to the fruit of the action.
Mm.
Just act for the act, for the
yes.
action.
Yes, yes. Act, do the action without being attached to the fruit of the action. But the action has a quality, doesn't it? What's the quality of the action? What does the quality of the action need to be?
I don't understand what you mean.
Ah.
Can you elaborate?
Yes, yes. I had a teacher, a meditation teacher once. Her name was Vimala Thakkar. She was a social activist as well as being a teacher, not necessarily of Dharma, but a teacher of truth and awakening worldwide. And she said something remarkable. This was 45 years ago, but it could really apply to today. She said, the power of love is the unreleased force for revolution. She said, the power of love is the dynamic for change. It's so far unexplored as a dynamic for change. And so she said, the force of love is the force of revolution. So the actions need to be colored with love, not anger. the action that brings the new, the action that would allow humanity to evolve from these very gross and stuck places in which we find ourselves. The action that's required to bring in the new is the force of love. So how can you act with the force of love?
I think you gave me some homework.
Yes, indeed. Just giving you a lot of homework. So you see, we look at the situation. We see, okay, we want an ethical foundation for our society. We surely all do want that, no matter what our political views. And then we see that things are harsh and cruel and corrupt and painful and difficult, and that people are suffering. And so the response of the heart needs to be one of love, one of compassion. And when we respond with compassion, the energy of the new comes, and this stuck place that we find ourselves in as human beings, where we're bound to the old, which was, you know, based on self-interest and gain and power and the individual. The movement and shift needs to be something else, to something else. We cannot know as human beings what that is to, but we can act with wisdom, we can act with love, we can act with pure intentions. And without being attached to the outcome, and together we can see if we live or die, actually. Together we see how we can face all the challenges that we as human beings face, not only here in Israel, but around the world. So, the power of love is the force, or the force of love is the force of revolution.
Okay. Thank you. I'll definitely work it out. Try to work it out.
So it's to go there with love in your heart, not anger. And then see what comes. So I'm not talking about being fluffy and naive. I'm talking about being really wise and bringing about a shift that heaven knows we as human beings certainly need.
It's more on the attitude.
Yes. So the attitude is one of compassion, one of love, one of care. Bring that both to yourself and others, and life will be a joy.
Thank you.
And thank you very much for your question. Yes, anyone? Shall we have one more? If there's another inquiry, I'm up for it. Yes, someone. Oh, come.
I wasn't sure if I'm going to raise my hand. Dharma really saved my life when I was about, like, really young.
Yes.
And one of the things it did at the beginning of my journey is that it made me release the anger I had towards my mother, who left me for 7 years.
Yes.
She wasn't speaking to me. Mm-hmm. And I found compassion for
her.
And this compassion allows me to see her as a suffering person.
Yes.
And nowadays we're in contact.
Yes.
And I am in contact with her for her. Mm-hmm. And most of the time it brings me, it takes away from me this connection with her. And
so you are the one who is giving.
I am the mother, 100%. Yeah. And and in the past few months, and this situation is like that for some long years now.
Yes.
And for the past few months, I feel like I have no compassion to give her.
Oh.
Because I need it for myself. And I'm one of the things that the Dharma did was I'm able to tell her, I cannot see you right now. I don't have what to give you. But I still, as a giving person, as a compassionate person, it's hard for me to see her being alone.
Did she feel rejected by you?
I think she, she feels seen. I am the only one out of her children that is in contact with her, that shares my feelings.
Okay, beautiful. So your compassionate heart is obvious. Sometimes when we keep giving and giving, we feel as if compassion runs out. It doesn't actually. But you've said I need space, so you've called a timeout in order to restore your own heart. So coming here, have you felt the compassion there? Do you feel love for yourself? Compassion is love in action.
Yes, I feel great love for myself and others and the whole world, everyone.
But fantastic.
This is why this issue is so hard for me.
Yes, so is it great love for the whole world and everyone except my mom?
No, this is why it's being compassionate to her instead of me.
Ah. Okay, so here you are looking dualistically. You're looking from a self perspective, aren't you? And as soon as there's self, there's other. So what if you just let that go? Because compassion is selfless. Compassion is both inward and outward at the same time. Rest there, right now.
This compassion that you speak of is what allows me to see her as a person who is not just my mother.
Oh, this is beautiful. Because in that moment, what you're doing is you're dropping the role of daughter who has the expectation of the mother to behave in a certain way. And when we let go of the roles, there's freedom of heart. So you can see your mother as an individual in this world who suffers, a woman in this world who suffers. And your response of the heart is to love. Then you became a little overwhelmed, so you pulled back a bit. Now what? You've come to retreat. You're feeling filled with love and compassion again. So what next?
Just the thought of I meet with her like once every few months.
Yes, okay.
Most of the years.
Yes,
sometimes
okay.
Once every year or two. And just the thought of just meeting her and just again giving her what she is supposed to be as a person. As a mother, but not only as a mother, just, you know, take care, learn, just, you know, be a human being.
Mm-hmm.
That's, it takes a lot for me.
Okay. So the question becomes, how can you do it with ease? How can you do it with care and love, with all the good intentions that you have, but without any clinging? What would need to shift in you?
I would need to be not her daughter.
Yes. Exactly. To drop the role of daughter and all the expectations that comes with it. So we let go of that role. And then we see that she behaves as she is due to the myriad of causes and conditions that contributed to her life. And I speak as someone who had a difficult relationship with my own mother. Yeah. So, we need to meet her. She's part of life. It's no good having compassion for the whole world except for her.
Easier, though.
It's easier, but it's not. Compassion is selfless and a vast and immeasurable without limits that includes everybody. So, we drop the role of daughter. What about dropping the idea that it will be so exhausting to see her?
Based on the history, it would be a lie.
Okay. So how are you going to do it then? How are you going to be compassionate and act? And sometimes compassion does take effort. With compassion, we're not always just doing what we feel like doing. Compassionate action requires getting up to the baby in the middle of the night when we don't feel like it. It asks a lot of us. It asks us to be true to our principles and ethics and values that we hold dear. It asks us to rest on in sila, in the real depth of the ethic of the Dharma.
I just, this question of limit.
Yeah.
Rises up to me.
Hmm.
Like, I am, obviously I cannot totally let go of the fact, the history.
Mm. Yes, you can.
Yeah.
Let go of the history. Go on.
I can, but not right now.
Okay.
Maybe. I think of also the future.
Yes.
My mother, she will get older.
Yes.
And she will be less capable of taking care of herself.
Yes.
What then? Should I be the best daughter that to the mother I never had?
That is up to you. How you meet her and what you are able to give and do is entirely up to you. You said the Dharma saved my life. it could be your turn to save the life of another or pay it forward. Sometimes things come into our life that are so precious and they make such valuable shifts and changes. And we need not to hold any resentment from the past. When someone was unable to give us what we needed, even if it's being a mother. And so the Dharma asks a lot of us. It's not that we can't ever set a limit and say, no, I'm not coming to see you this month, I'm coming in 2 months' time. Of course we can do that. We can take care of ourselves. But in principle, it's a matter of compassion is compassion. Love is love. Not meta for everyone except this person. And the same for yourself. Compassion includes you. So sometimes, with the timing, it will be require a limit or an adjustment or middle path. Not seeing her every week. Not never seeing her. Somewhere in the middle. And what helps, I think, in situations like this is seeing that events arise due to causes and conditions, and that how we are as a person and how the mother is as a person is the result of many, many causes and conditions in life, a myriad number of causes and conditions, and in a sense, it relieves us of blame. We no longer need to blame.
This is what exactly what helped me forgive her.
Yes, yes, exactly. So, it's up to you how often you go. So you look inwardly. You say, do I have the resources today? If it's yes, you do it. If it's no, you don't do it that day. But take care with blaming. Take care to loosen the grip of the role. And it really says a lot about you as a person that you are able to show love and care and compassion to your mother when she was not there for you, when you needed her. So that's the movement of the heart that's so precious. Don't ever lose that.
Thank you.
Rest there. Then you'll know what to do. Thanks.
Thank you.
Sweet. So just sitting together for a little while. The first inquiry, we saw that love and trust are very important in the parenting role, that it requires letting go of some of the control we have that's associated with our children. It also requires letting go of our fears, the projected fears that we have. It also requires knowing our own freedom of heart. And we saw all of this in the first inquiry. And with the second inquiry, I know that for many of you, the circumstances in Israel are very painful and difficult at the moment. And the response needs to be one of wisdom. And I know that the Sangha here has reflected and looked and come up with ways of responding that are wise and deep and based on love. And from all of this, hopefully something new arises, new energies emerge. Certainly in my very small experience of being on the street one Saturday night, on the 32nd consecutive week of protest, my sense was definitely not one of helplessness, but one of And with the third inquiry, compassion actually doesn't run out. And compassion is selfless. It's expressed inwardly and outwardly. When we act with compassion, the compassion flows through us as well as to the other person. The intention, of course, is to relieve the suffering of the other. This is a noble intention, and it's a beautiful movement of the heart. And sometimes when we have complex histories with people, it's difficult to find that precious movement of the heart that's not contaminated by any kind of ill will, and we can just freely give and freely respond in accordance with love and care and the intention to end suffering. And with that, we'll just sit together for a moment to bring the three inquiries to a close. I did my best not to get into political trouble here. We'll see. Thank you to the three who inquired, and thank you to each of you for your very patient listening.